Fran and Bill. I want to, you know, when you, Hosea's name, let me tell you what Hosea's name means. It's got rid of Hosea, chapter 1. Hosea means deliver, it means salvation. It's like Joshua in the Old Testament. And Joshua in the Old Testament is Jesus in the New Testament. And it both means deliver, it means Savior. Jehovah Savior. And so Hosea was given this name because he is such a beautiful type of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is truly a wonderful type of the Lord Jesus. Now this is a difficult book to understand, but it's full of the grace of God. That's how God saves sinners, by grace. And he saves them because he loved them from before the foundation of the world. And what God does to Hosea, he commands him to say, go marry a harlot. Go marry a harlot. That's what he says there in verse 2. Go take unto thee a wife of whoredoms. Go take unto thee a wife of whoredoms. That certainly seems a strange thing for somebody to tell somebody to do. For God to tell a man to do. You go take a wife, and you take a wife, and you find the sorriest woman you can find and marry her. You find the sorriest one you can find and marry her. And we know, and he did. So it says in verse 3, so he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Dibleam. We know that God has a purpose and a will in all that he does. God's purpose in everything that he does, he has a purpose behind it. His providence and his purpose, they work together. God's providence and purpose, they work together. They work together for his glory first. That's the first and foremost thing that God does. He does it first and foremost for his own glory. And then for our good. And we want him to have the glory, but his providence and purpose works for his glory and our good. But now, can you imagine what Hosea thought? He says, now listen, he told me to go marry this harlot over here. You know, he thought that was strange. You can't help but wondering, did he wonder about it? Why should God command a prophet to marry a harlot? Huh? Why? That's a strange thing to do. It's like Moses. Moses no doubt wondered why he spent 40 years on the backside of the desert tending sheep when God already told him he was going to deliver his people Israel through him. But he spent 40 years on the backside of the desert tending a bunch of old sheep. What am I doing here? What am I doing here? And Joseph, cast into prison, sold into slavery, cast into prison through no fault of his own. But he has 11 brothers that ain't suffering none whatsoever. Whatsoever. And Job, can you imagine? And of course, you can read the book of Job. He lost his children, lost everything that he had, lost his wealth, and lost his health, lost everything that he had. He would be unfeeling had he not wondered what in the world is going on. Though he submitted to God. Joseph submitted to God. Moses submitted to God. Hosea submitted to God. But you know they got to wonder, what is going on in my life? And John Bunyan, I've told you so much about John Bunyan. He no doubt wondered why in the world I spend 12 years in prison when I could be out preaching the gospel. Why am I doing here in this prison when I could be out preaching the gospel? And Charles Spurgeon, he had a horrible, horrible problem with gout. Gout is one of the most painful things that I've read about, and said it's a very, very awful thing, and he'd have to leave the pulpit and go to real, real warm weather to get over it, to get over it. But it's like William Cowper said, God moves in mysterious ways his wonders to perform, plants his footsteps on the sea and rides upon the storm. Judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust him for his grace. Behind the frowning providence, he hides a smiling face. His purposes will ripen fast, unfolding every hour. The bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. Oh, I'm going to tell you the reason he married a harlot. Look what it said here in chapter 3 and verse 1. Then said the Lord unto me, Hosea chapter 3 and verse 1, then said the Lord unto me, go yet, love a woman, beloved of her friend, yet an adulteress, according to the love of the Lord toward the children of Israel, who loved other gods. Hosea chose his bride from among the most sinful people that there was, among the most sinful people. Now, when he married her, he entered into a covenant relationship with her. Marriage is a covenant. We all had that when whoever done your wedding, they talked to you about entering into a covenant. A covenant relationship. You had took vows in this covenant relationship. And you made all kinds of promises to one another. Well, God just didn't just say, just go and get this woman. And he said, she's a, what did he say about her? A woman beloved of her friend, yet an adulteress. Yet an adulteress. And he entered into his covenant relationship with her. Marriage is a covenant. And I'll tell you, this being a type of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord, the Lord of glory, chose his bride from the most miserable worms, sinners, fallen people on this planet. I mean, he chose, you know, he said this, that when we were yet without strength, they had no strength. Christ died for what? The ungodly. You say, I don't know if I was ever ungodly. Well, if you never was ungodly, you ain't never been made godly yet then. Because I tell you what, for one thing, you'll understand how ungodly you are. And then he also said this, that he commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Oh, listen, God said it to Jeremiah. He said, Jeremiah, said you was ever, before you was ever formed in your mother's belly, I ordained you to be a prophet. So he chose people out of the worst kind of people. And he chose his bride among the fallen. He did. You know, this is something that you know, most people do not understand. That they think that they're doing something to get on God's good side, to do something to get God to look at them in a kind, favorable way. But there's not a human being on this earth that God can look at in a favorable way. If he don't look at him in Christ and through Christ, you're not going to get him to look at you at all. And that's what he said here. And that's why Paul said, you know, when it pleased God who separated me from where? My mother's womb. So God gets his bride. Christ gets his bride among the most fallen. I mean fallen people. Fallen. I mean, how far did we fall? We fell all the way to the bottom. We was at the bottom. You know, they sang that song, when he reached down his hand for me. He reached way, way down for me. I tell you what, if he reached for you, he had to reach down. Ain't that right? He had to reach down. And Hosea was dishonored. He was held in contempt for choosing Gomer as his bride. This adulteress, this harlot. And I tell you, he was dishonored. He was held in contempt. Why in the world would this prophet go take Gomer? Why would he take this harlot? Why did he take this adulteress to be his bride? Well, our Lord Jesus Christ, he was hated. He was despised. You know why? For calling sinners to himself. You know, you keep Hosea and look over in Luke chapter 15. You know, the Lord's enemies had a gospel. And everything they said about the Lord Jesus Christ, everything they held against him, that's what we find to be the most glorious thing about him. Look what it said here in Luke 15, verse 1. What it says here. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. Now, a publican was one of the most despised people by the Jews, because they was Jews themselves and they were tax collectors. And said, publicans and sinners for to hear him. Now, listen to this now. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners, and then he eats with them too. What an awful accusation. This man sinners come to him. This man eateth with, he fellowships with sinners and eats with them. Can you imagine that? What an horrible thing. What an awful thing. That's what they said about our master. And you all remember very well when our Lord was in Simon the leper's house, Pharisee, invited for supper. Simon asked him to come over for dinner. Come over and eat supper with me. So he went in, he was sitting there, and they reclined. You know, they didn't sit in chairs like you and I do. They sit around low and they recline. And this woman came in, and she came up to Christ's feet, and she began to weep so profusely. Oh, she just began to weep so greatly. And his feet were just covered, soaking wet with her tears. She just drenched his feet with her tears. And then she rushed down there. She had so much hair, she pulled it around, and she dried his feet with her hair. And Simon, he said within himself, if this man were a prophet, he'd know what kind of woman this is. She's a sinner. Well, my, he's got to let the sinner get close to her and to him. And that's what they say about him. See, the things that they find fault with him about, that's the dearest things about, that's what makes him so precious to us. That's what makes him so precious to us. And God's love to us was based solely, entirely, and completely upon his mercy, on a covenant of mercy. You know, Titus said it this way, after the kindness and love our God toward men appeared, not by works of righteousness, but according to his own mercy, he saved us and washed us. Oh, what a blessed covenant of mercy our Lord had. And you know, you go through, I've been studying through Ephesians, and I don't know how many times it has that word rich in Ephesians. But one of the word riches is that God, who is rich in mercy, wherewith he loved us. How many things are rich? He's rich in it. He's rich in it. You know, there ain't no goodness in us. There's no merit in us. And then Hosea, not only did he choose his bride from among the most sinful people, God chose his bride among the most sinful people. And Hosea chose his bride and entered into a covenant relationship. But you know what she did? She went back to her old ways. Went back to her old ways. Huh? Oh, listen to what it said here in chapter 2 and verse 5. Oh, he had children by her. He had her body, had three children by her, had her body. But look what happens now. For their mother hath played the harlot. She that conceived them hath done shamefully. For she said, I'll go after my lovers that give me my bread and my water, my wool, my flax, mine oil, and my drink. Oh my. She was chosen, loved by Hosea. But when she got older, she walked away from Isaiah and walked in the path of sin and evil and wickedness. And though God loved us from all eternity, oh, how He loved us. We can't imagine the love of God has towards us. Though God loved us from all eternity and entered into a covenant to make us His bride, you know what we did? We walked, went right on our sinful ways. Went right on our sinful ways. He loved us and entered into a covenant to make us His bride. But we went on in our sinful ways. David said, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. The wicked go strange from the mother's womb, speaking lies. And Jeremiah said this. He said, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately, desperately wicked. And oh, how desperately wicked it is. We walked in the path of sin. We walked in the path of wickedness. We walked in the path of false religion. We had other gods. We had idols. We had our own free will as idols. We had our self-righteousness as idols. We had self-confidence as idols. We had every kind of idol you could imagine. And we had all these idols. And you know why we walked in sin? We didn't become sinners when we started walking in sin. We became sinners. We do sin because we commit sin because we're sinners. Can't do anything else. There's nothing else that a person could do. Y'all remember Todd coming here one time several years ago, and he preached a message on, are you a Romans 7 sinner? Are you a Romans 7 sinner? You know what a Romans 7 sinner is? He says, I would, what I would do, I don't. What I wouldn't do, I do. So then that I would not do, that's exactly what I do. That I hate, I do. That I love, I don't. The will's present with me, but how to perform, I don't know how. So it's not my mind, I serve the law of God, but with this flesh, I serve the law of sin. And then Paul cries out like this. He said, oh, wretched man that I am! You know, if it wasn't for the grace of God, and if it wasn't for what God done for us, we would still be walking in our own way. Huh? We chose sin because we're sinners. You don't become a liar when you tell a lie. You lie because you're a liar. Born that way. And oh my, look what it said down here in verse 13. Hosea chapter 2 and verse 13. And I will visit upon her the days of Balaam. Oh, why? Because she burned incense to them. She burned incense to Balaam. She burned incense to these idols. She decked herself with earrings and jewels. And listen to this, went after her lovers. Went after her lovers. Dressed herself up really good. Put on her makeup, decked herself, got earrings on, got jewels on. And she said, listen, I'm going out and have me a big time. And this is what God said, forget me. Oh my, that's the way we lived. We didn't know anything about God. Now Hosea, he provided for Gomer. Told you it's a beautiful type of Christ. He provided for Gomer, even in her sin and her rebellion. Look what it says down here in verse 8. For she did not know that I gave her corn and wine and oil and multiplied her silver and gold, and they had prepared it for Baal. Oh, you remember what she said down here, down in verse 5. She said, I'll go after my lovers. They'll give me my bread, my water, my wool, my flax, my wine, my drink. And Hosea said, she thought they all done it. She thought they all done it. But I was the one going up there to the door and putting everything out there outside her door. I took the corn. I took the wine. I took the flax. I took the drink. I took everything she needed. Huh? And I tell you, he's the one that really took care of her. And that's the way it is in this world. The world absolutely cares nothing about the Lord's people. That cares nothing about them. And God takes care of his children, even in the days of their sin and rebellion. I am so thankful for that. That you know when he says all things work together for good to them that love God, that call according to his purpose, he started that from the mother's womb. That's why Paul said, when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb. And then all the days of his rebellion, he was 30 something, he was about 30 or 35 years old before God ever apprehended him. So he lived 30 something years in rebellion. But God loved, you know, and here's the thing, they think their lovers are doing it for them, and God said, I'm doing it. I'm doing it. Oh my. He takes care of us even in our days of sin and rebellion. And you got so many illustrations in the scriptures. Saul of Tarsus. Here's a man who was a blasphemer, a persecutor. He was injurious. And he thought to do many, many things against Jesus Christ of Nazareth. That's what he says. That I thought to do many, many things about him. Said, I hated him, I despised him, he was as far as I'm concerned, a false prophet. Until one day, on the Damascus Road, God met him. Christ met him. Christ apprehended him. And he spent the rest of his life trying to wonder, why in the world did Christ apprehend me? Why did he apprehend me? And then he turned around and said, it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb. He let me live in rebellion, hated him, persecuted him, despised him. As a blasphemer, I blasphemed his name. But God took care of him all those years. Huh? John Newton. I don't know if y'all know this about John Newton or not. Got 6 volumes of his works in there. 2 of them's his own, his hymns. But John Newton was a slave trader. He went and bought slaves and hauled shiploads of slaves, unloaded them and sold them. That's the living he made. Selling bodies, selling people, selling children, selling old men and young women, selling them, bringing them off that boat, sending them out there. Putting them on the block. That's what he did for a living. And you know, he fell overboard one time. And he looked like he's going to drown, but some man reached with a big old hook and reached down and got him and jerked him out of there by the leg. Put a big gash in his leg. But then he's the one who said, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. You know how wretched he felt after he realized what he had done all his life? And then God saved him? God saved him? Through many dangers, toils, and snares I've already come? Oh my. And I tell you what, look what it says here in Hosea 2 and verse 6. Look what it says there. Look what God says he does for us now. He said, therefore, behold, I'll hedge up thy way with thorns and make a wall, and she will not be able to find her path. She'll have to walk the path I got her hedged up in. He said, I'm going to put thorns over here and hedges over here, and she's going to look a way out, and there ain't going to be no way out. I'm going to hedge him up. We were like Gomer. We gave the praise for what we had to everybody but God. There's a hymn, I believe it's 298 in the hymn book. It said, in shady green pastures, so rich and sweet, God leads his dear children along. Where the water's cool flow bathes the weary one's feet, God leads his dear children along. Some through the waters, some through the floods, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season and all the day long. Oh, he takes care of us. Oh, don't he? And then the day comes. Let me hurry up. I'm going to try to hurry up here. But when the day comes and Hosea is brought down in humiliation, her life caught up with her. Her adulterous life caught up with her. Start looking here. Read with me in verse 10 of chapter 2. It's what God says now. He says, now will I discover her lewdness in the sight of her lovers, and none shall deliver her out of mine hand. I will cause all her mirth to cease, her feast days, her new moons, her Sabbaths, and all her solemn feasts. I will destroy her vines and her fig trees, whereof she said, these are my rewards that my lovers have given me. And he goes on to say in verse 13, and I'll visit upon her the days of Balaam, wherein she burned incense to them. She decked herself with earrings and jewels, went after her lovers, and forget me, saith the Lord. Therefore, behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness, and listen to this, and speak comfort unto her. And I'll give her her vineyards from this, and the valley of Acre for the door of hope. And she shall sing there as in the days of her youth, as in the days when she came out of Egypt. Oh, God brings her down. He made her life to be a burden to her. He made her life, he brought her down in humiliation, made her life to become a burden. Her sweetness turned into bitterness. Her joy turned into mourning. Things that she once loved, she now hated. And this is Holy Spirit conviction of sin. If a person misses, you know, that's a missing note in preaching. I don't mean take too long. But Holy Spirit conviction is a missing thing in today's preaching. And the Holy Spirit must convict a man of sin. And conviction means that you're convicted of it. God will convince you, you'll be convicted of it. And the God who chose us lets us go on in the path of sin. Until he said, that's as far as you're going to go. You're not going any further. Huh? Ain't you grateful he does that? You come and you're going no further. You're not going any further. And he makes us weary with sin. Makes us weary with it. Like the prodigal. He went out there and he got so poor and so sorry and so low down that he was eating the husk that he was feeding the hogs. A little bit of corn left on him, he was trying to eat it. And he got to think and said, oh, my father. Oh, my father. And that's what happened to us. Oh, my father. Here I am out here eating hog's food. I'm eating slop. And there's my father. He has got more bread than I can ever eat. He's got more rooms than I can ever live in. He's got more wealth than I can ever spend. He said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go home. And he found out his daddy was just waiting. He said, listen, Father, I've sinned so against you. And this is what we say. Father, I've sinned so against you. Just let me be a hired servant. Let me just take any place. And he said, oh, we can't do that. I can't treat my children like that. I can't treat my son that way. Bring forth the best robe. Put a ring on his finger and put shoes on his feet. Oh, and it's like Zacchaeus. Today's Zacchaeus, You went as far as you're going to go. I'm going to go home with you today. I know you didn't invite me. I know you didn't open your heart and ask me to come in. I know you didn't hold a cross up and said, I want Jesus. No. He said, Zacchaeus, today I'm going home with you. And when I get there, salvation's coming into your house. You know why salvation's coming to your house? Because I'm coming. And wherever I go, I'll bring salvation with me. That's what he did to us. Today I'm going home with you. Today I'm going home with you, and salvation's going to go with me. Oh my. Oh, we can't. Until we weary of sin, and it becomes such a burden to us, grace won't taste like grace. Huh? And oh my, until we're convinced of our sin, we will never feel our need of Christ. When human nature is compared to human nature, it comes out just fine. But when human nature is compared to the holiness and glory and righteousness of God Almighty, it becomes exceeding sinful. Exceeding sinful. Well, I'm about done. Listen to this next one. You thank the Lord. Oh, thank God. He took this woman. She went back into her old adulterous ways. But look what happened now. Gomer belonged to her slave masters. Look what it says here in chapter 3 and verse 2. She sold herself into slavery. She got old and she got, she just lost everything. And look what it says. So I bought her to me. I love that. Christ said, I bought her to me. For 15 pieces of silver and an omer of barley and a half omer of barley. Oh my. She was in bondage. She was on the slave block. She had sold herself into sin and bondage. And Hosea loved her, is married to her. And then he had to go back and buy her. Oh, ain't that the way we were? Sold into sin. Held in bondage by God's law. Held in bondage by God's justice. And she said, so I bought her. And listen to this. Bought her to me. He paid her the price of a slave. Oh, she was his by marriage covenant. But she had destroyed it by her corruption. But oh, when he bought her and said, I bought her to me. What love. What mercy. Oh, we were sold under sin. Carnal sold under sin. People say Satan held us. No, God's law held us. Justice held us and wouldn't let us go. Until Christ came. And said, I buy them to myself. What price are you going to pay? My blood. I'll be wounded for their transgressions. I'll be bruised for their iniquities. Lord, lay on me the iniquity of all of them on us. Oh my. And then look what it says there in verse 3. And I said unto her, thou shalt abide with me for many days. Thou shalt not play the harlot. And thou shalt not be for another man, so will I also be for thee. It's just me and you now. That's the way Christ does that. You're coming to me, and there ain't going to be nobody else. And I'm coming to you, and there ain't going to be no. It's just me and you. It's just me and you. Just me and you. Christ bought us and paid for us. And oh, he takes her home. Takes her home. And God takes us. He chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. He redeemed us by the precious blood of Christ. Calls us by his grace. Keeps us by his power. And will one day raise us from the dead. And look over here in chapter 14. And I'll show you why. Why did it go like this? Why did he take her home? Why did he buy her? And why did God deal with us this way? Listen to what he said here in Hosea 14:4. I will hear their backslidings, and listen to this, I will love them freely. I'll love them freely, for mine anger is turned away. I'm gonna love. You know why he loves us? Freely. I just will to do it. Huh? Oh, we bunch of gomers. Bunch of gomers. We was held by slaves. Christ said, what price will it take to buy them? God said, you. Your death. Your blood. That's what it'll take. And he said, I'll pay it. And now we all been bought. We belong to him. And it's just, he said, you're going to be for me, and I'm going to be for you. And you know, I'll love them freely. Oh, our Father, in the precious name, oh Lord. We look at these things and we see our Lord Jesus Christ. We see the love of God. We see the grace of Christ. We see the work of Christ. We see how far off we were. And yet when we were afar off, we thought we were getting our lives by ourselves. Other people's taking care of us. But Lord, you set everything at our door. You provided for us even when we were in sin and in rebellion. And Lord, we thank you that you crossed our path one day, crossed our path with the gospel of the grace of God, of the gospel of redeeming love, of the gospel of redeeming blood. Lord, bless you, praise you, and thank you. Meet the needs of these dear people and keep them for Christ's sake. Amen. Amen. I'll see you next Sunday, God willing.